There are weeks when it is difficult not to be consumed by the news, and I think that we are living in one of those seasons right now. For many Canadians, there is anger, anxiety, and maybe even a sense of betrayal, because a country that has long been our neighbor, ally, and friend feels different to us. And because we are a church, there is another layer, because some of us are Canadian, some of us are American, many of us have family living on both sides of the border, and I know that not all of us think the same things politically. So what does the gospel have to say in a moment like this? So this morning, I don't want to preach about tariffs. I don't want to preach about Mark Carney or Donald Trump or Lake Ontario or Lake America. I want to preach the text that is in front of us, where Paul says, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you. He called you to this through our gospel, that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm." And before Paul tells us to stand firm, he reminds us who we are. And that's the first observation this morning, is to remember who you are. Paul reminds us who we are. Look at the words that he uses, or think of the words that he uses. Loved by the Lord, chosen by God, called through the gospel, sanctified by the Spirit, destined to share in Christ's glory. Paul is giving them their identity. Now, the world is constantly telling us who we are. Canadian, American, conservative, liberal, democratic, socialist, centrist-leaning left, centrist-leaning right. Those identities, they're not meaningless. I am Canadian. I think I just did a beer commercial. I am Canadian. I care about what happens to Canada and its communities. But Paul is reminding us in this text that there is an identity that is underneath all other identities. Before I am Canadian, I am loved by the Lord. Before I'm American, I am called by the gospel. Before I am conservative or liberal, I am someone whom the Spirit is making holy. And if you belong to Christ, you are my brother and my sister. Our citizenship in the kingdom of heaven transcends all earthly citizenships. In the kingdom of God, there are no borders. And so we need to start by remembering who we are. And then second, we need to see what is really happening. There's a little word at the beginning of our reading this morning. It's the word but. But we ought always to thank God. And that but is connecting us back to what came before our reading this morning, the text that wasn't read this morning. And in that text, Paul talks about rebellion in the world and lawlessness and deception and spiritual powers and human beings that are setting themselves up as opposed to God. So the Thessalonians were looking at a very confusing and threatening world, much like the world that you and I are living in today. And Paul doesn't tell them that, oh, none of that matters. He tells them that none of that is ultimate. There is what you see, and then there's what God is doing. And we naturally read history from the headlines, and we ask, well, what happens to prices? What happens to jobs? What happens next? Those are real questions. They're legit questions. But Christians must also look deeper. If I was going to be really fancy theological, Christians must look apocalyptically. That's a fancy word that means to lift the veil. The book of Revelation is kind of about that, where God lifts the veil, like removing the curtain on a puppet show so that you can see what's going on behind the scenes. What's going on behind the scenes? Governments act, markets react, nations argue, but God is also at work. The verbs in the passage are powerful. God loves you, chose you, called you, sanctifies you, leading you towards the glory of Christ. So Paul there, he's pulling back the curtain and he's saying, don't make the mistake of thinking that the things that you can see are the only things that are happening. There are real powers in this world, political, economic, cultural, but there are also real powers behind the scenes. Principalities, powers, thrones, dominions, celestial entities opposed to God, and none of them are sovereign. But God is, and He's working behind the scenes as well. And perhaps this morning we need to consider even a harder question. What if? And I want to ask this very carefully. I'm not claiming to know the hidden purposes of God. And we should be very cautious, I think, about looking at any particular event and declaring, this is what God is doing. Scripture does not give us that kind of certainty. But the prophet Daniel does teach us that when nations are shaken, God's people should not only ask, what are they doing to us? This same lesson is in Habakkuk. What are they doing to us? Sometimes we need to ask, what might God be saying to us? So what if God uses even a difficult season to expose things in Canada that need repentance? What if instead of only pointing across the border, we also look honestly at ourselves? What if this is one of those Peter, John moments where one asks Jesus, well, what about him? And Jesus says, you don't worry about him. I'll take care of him. You need to think about you. We are grateful for much that is good in Canada. But we are not an innocent nation. We have become enormously prosperous, and yet materialism consumes us. We speak very passionately about rights while increasingly forgetting responsibility before God. We have often treated human life, whether the life of the unborn or the life of the terminally ill, as something whose value depends upon whether it is wanted, convenient, or useful. That does not make God happy. We have celebrated so-called sexual freedom while losing sight of God's purposes for marriage, faithfulness, and the body. These kinds of national choices have national repercussions. We have wounded indigenous peoples and carry parts of that history that simply cannot be dismissed. And perhaps beneath all of these is the oldest temptation of all, is we have learned to live as a nation. We have learned to live as if we do not need God. So what if God intends to use this moment not merely to change our circumstances, but to change us? Often it is only in times of national pain that you see national repentance. And so before asking God to humble another nation, the church in Canada should ask, Lord, is there anything you want to humble in us? Because biblical repentance always begins at home, not with the other guy. And then thirdly this morning, we need to remember that the biggest headline isn't the deepest reality. And here's something that might sound strange. The trade conflict is not the most important thing that is happening in Canada this week. It may be the biggest headline. It might have the most serious consequences, but it's not the deepest reality, because this week God is calling people through the gospel. This week God is making people holy. God is reconciling enemies. He's building his church. He's preparing a people that will share in the glory of Christ. The storm is real, but the storm is not sovereign. And so Paul says, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings that we passed on to you. Standing firm means refusing to let circumstances determine what kind of people we become. And sometimes the greatest danger isn't crisis. It's simply what is happening in us. What might their actions turn us into? And so Paul says, stand firm. Don't let fear make you fearful. Don't let anger turn into hatred. Don't let disagreement turn into contempt. Don't let tribalism, political tribalism, determine whom you can love. Don't let somebody else's behavior become your excuse for behavior that is unworthy of Jesus. Or to put it simply, don't let this moment make you less like Jesus. And then Paul finishes by talking about every good deed and word. That's wonderfully ordinary. So perhaps standing firm this week looks like asking, what am I saying? What am I posting? What am I sharing? How am I talking about people who think differently from me? Sometimes standing firm means refusing to defend ourselves long enough to hear somebody else's pain. I'm not saying we're not allowed to complain or grumble or crack a joke. I'm not saying that. But standing firm means telling the truth, refusing contempt, listening, forgiving, praying, continuing to do good, loving our neighbor, and not allowing the political temperature around us to determine the spiritual temperature within us. And perhaps our congregation can become a small sign of God's kingdom, because here there are Canadians and Americans. Our governments may disagree, our politics may differ, but we come to the same Lord at the same table. We receive the same grace. We belong to the same family. One day we will stand before the same throne. And so whatever happens between our nations, whatever happens in our politics, whatever happens in the economy, don't let this moment make you less than Jesus. And I'm not even just talking about disagreement between Canada and America. There's also plenty of disagreement within America, what America is doing, and there's plenty of disagreement within Canada about Canada's response. But whatever happens between our nations or within our nations, don't let this moment make you less than Jesus, because our deepest identity is not Canadian, it's not American. It's that we are the loved ones, beloved of the Lord. And our deepest hope is not in what side wins. I'm not sure there are any winners. Our hope is Jesus Christ. And so then, brothers and sisters, stand firm in that. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes and come before the Lord. And we pray in this moment, Holy Spirit, come. Sovereign Lord, you are Lord over every nation, every ruler, and every power. Forgive us when we place our hope in nations or governments. Search us, Lord, where there's pride, we pray that you would humble us. Where there is contempt, teach us to love. Where there is misplaced affection, give us guidance. Where we have wandered from your ways, lead us to repentance. Remind us that before we are anything else, we are your people, loved by you, called through the gospel, and being made holy by your Spirit. And whatever happens around us, Lord, do not let this moment make us less like Jesus. Strengthen our hearts that day when we share